Are you a lawyer who desires more freedom and flexibility in your work life? To be more available for your family, stop deferring those bucket list travel destinations until retirement, take care of yourself physically and mentally, or even just have more time for your other passions and priorities. What would it mean for your life if you could continue to practice law without sacrificing in any of these areas or sacrificing your income? I'm Kaylee Jacquemet, host of the Lawyer on Your Terms podcast. I run a six-figure virtual law practice working less than 25 hours a week. I'm a mom of two little ones and started my practice so I wouldn't have to choose between my vision of motherhood and my legal career. Your dreams and priorities may be different, but if you're curious about how to create a practice that is designed around your most important priorities in life, rather than always having to fit your life around your career, then you're in the right place. You, my friend, are more than just a lawyer, and you can lawyer on your own terms. Welcome to the Lawyer on Your Terms podcast. Let's dive into today's episode. Hey there, and welcome back to the podcast. So today I want to talk about creating an amazing client experience. After nearly 7 years of running my own law practice, the majority, though not all, of my business currently comes from referrals and returning clients. Now, depending on your practice area, you might not have a lot of returning clients, but every happy client is a referral source. Central to having happy clients is creating an amazing client experience where your clients feel cared for and attended to and know that you are doing your best job to serve them. Now, not every matter is going to come out in their favor. You won't be able to fully control that, you know, depending on what the matter involves. But even when the result is not in their favor, you can still make it a great client experience. So today I'm going to share my tips on how to do that. Now, first, a good client experience begins before they even become a client. And my first couple of tips apply to that phase before they have become a client, before they've retained your services. So my first tip is to have a very user-friendly and responsive lead intake process. And there are many ways to do this, but I'm going to share quickly what mine is. I've shared this before. Again, you can do this in different ways. You just want to make sure it's very user-friendly, that they're getting a quick response. So currently, my intake process begins on my website. There is an intake form. They will fill it out with their name, their number, their email address. They can select options of different services that they're interested in. And this is very important, and I highly encourage you. In fact, I insist that you include this. I ask, where did you hear about us? Because that is going to be how you collect this data so you know what's working and, you know, by process of elimination, what maybe you're wasting your efforts on. So that's the last question. When they hit submit, all of that information is sent to my client management software. And automatically, a new project is created with their name. I don't have to go in manually and do this. So a new project is created, a new client is created. And when they hit submit, on their end, they are redirected to my calendar page. So while that information is being sent to my client management software and, you know, project is being set up there, they are being redirected to my calendar. And then they are able to book an appointment on my calendar for certain days and times that I have made myself available for new client consultations. They can book the appointment, and then that information is also sent to my client management software, and it is put on my Google Calendar. So once they do that, they are going to be sent an email confirming that we receive their information, the time of the appointment. And I'm also sending them a copy of my ebook, which is called Brand Law. It's just a 101 guide for protecting your business legally. So they're getting value, they're getting a quick response, and we're confirming those details of the appointment. I've also seen some people incorporate text confirmation, so confirming the appointment by text message. That's not something that I do currently, but maybe I'll explore it in the future. So having a really user-friendly and responsive lead intake process. Now, tip number two, this may seem obvious, but on your consultation, be friendly, personable, and provide a lot of value. If you can leave your consultation call with a new prospective client, which, you know, depending on the type of matter, might be one of the only times that you actually speak to or meet with that client. If you can leave that consultation with your prospective client really liking you and feeling a lot more knowledgeable about their issue and equipped to make some decisions, equipped with some options to move forward, even if this is at a very high level, so even if you're not getting into the specifics of their situation, but explaining things more generally, you are very likely to convert that client, and they are likely to continue to like you because first impressions really matter. They're really important. Tip number three, manage expectations. And this comes during the initial consultation itself and after and throughout your matter. So manage expectations of what is possible, when they can expect a response from you, when they can expect delivery of documents, and just your timeline in general. You want to equip them to be as knowledgeable about what they can expect working with you and the process that you're about to go through, whatever that is, as you can. And of course, you know, the old adage is true, promise less, deliver more.
If you're ready to build and grow a flexible virtual law practice, whether you're going solo for the first time or you have an existing practice, but would like to be able to work less without sacrificing your income, our signature program, The Accelerator, is for you. The Accelerator is a 6-month private, done-with-you mentorship program to provide you with the exact steps, strategies, and support that you need to build, launch, and grow a flexible virtual law practice. There's honestly nothing else in the marketplace like the Accelerator, and we take a holistic approach to building a flexible law firm around the most important priorities in your life. Our unique combination of training materials, templates, and private mentoring will fast-track your transformation from burnout and missing out to a lawyer who looks forward to Monday mornings. By the end of the program, you will not only have all the information and tools you need to launch your flexible virtual firm, but we will have built out many of the back-end components of your firm together. You'll have a clear, personalized, and actionable business plan to operate and grow your practice with the confidence and support to do it. And last, but certainly not least, you'll join a network of like-minded attorneys to grow with. Enrollment for the Accelerator is open now at lawyeronyourterms.com/accelerator.
Tip number four. So when the client retains you, my tip is to make that client onboarding process as streamlined and easy as possible. So you want it to be very clear how to sign your client engagement agreement, how to pay an invoice. Don't put up extra hurdles and obstacles, because even if they really want to work with you, let's say this wasn't an absolutely urgent kind of matter, and you are sending them a PDF engagement agreement that they can't sign electronically, and so they're going to have to print it off, sign it, and scan it back to you. You have just added a whole bunch of obstacles, and if this is not a high priority to them, then you may have lost a client just in your onboarding system not being easy and streamlined. So to avoid that situation, what I would recommend doing is having a client management system, having a system in place where you've automated the entire onboarding process. So an example of what my onboarding process looks like is it is one file. I will, after they tell me they want to move forward, I will go into my client management software, go to the project that was automatically created, we're there, and then I will select that I want to send them what in my software is called a custom smart file. And I have a template that is already ready to go for different types of matters. And so let's say this is a trademark search and registration matter. So I'll select that template, and there are a few pages in it. First is just an intro page. Then that leads to the engagement agreement, which they can sign right there electronically. Then they proceed to a page that shows their initial invoice. And then the next page collects payment, which they can do by debit, credit, or bank transfer. Then when they submit that, they come to a questionnaire form where I'm collecting all the information that I need from them to move forward. And then the final page is a thank you page that outlines again what they can expect next and moving forward. So It is very, you know, minimal resistance, not a lot of excuses why you can't simply go through and check the boxes. On my end, it takes me minutes, you know, 1 or 2 minutes to open the file. It already customizes it with their name. So maybe if for this particular engagement, I'm changing something or I'm adding something, that might take a few minutes. But otherwise, I'm just proceeding to email it to them. The client management software emails the file. I also have a template email that is set up that is the onboarding email that they'll receive. And at the bottom of it, there is a button they click to access this file. And it's protected by a double authentication where they receive a passcode and then they put it in. But I don't deal with that part. That's all the software doing that for me. Very easy. On their end, only takes a few minutes as well. All right. So the next few steps that I'm going to share with you, or the next few tips, they might take a different order depending on the matter and the process that you have. But, you know, in whatever order you put them in, they're important for everyone. So tip number 5 is get to work and do an excellent job. I'm sure that you already knew this and plan to do this, but, you know, deliver an excellent product to them. Again, you won't always be able to control the outcome, but part of your job, as you know, is communicating to them all of the risks and, you know, in your legal opinion, their likelihood of success, again, depending on the matter. And so include all of those disclaimers, make that sure their expectations are clear, and do an excellent job. Tip number 6, communicate and explain. So once you have either, you know, dug into their issue a little bit and you're issue spotting, or maybe you're preparing a document for them, whatever the first step is, and you're getting back to touching base with them, updating them, delivering something to them, make sure that you communicate and explain by really stepping into the shoes of a teacher. This comes very naturally for some people and not so naturally for others, but really just explain it as best as you can. Listen for their cues of understanding or not understanding. And your goal should be their understanding, so they feel empowered to make decisions. Hopefully, we're all past impressing people with our legalese. That is not your goal here. Your goal is that they feel empowered to make decisions and they know where this is all going. And they could turn around and explain this to someone else really well, because you've explained it in terms that this individual who you're speaking to understands. Tip number 7, be the first to initiate updates. Now, you're not going to do this perfectly all the time. We can't control, you know, how often a particular client is going to ask for updates. But to the extent that you can, endeavor to be the one who is updating them on the progress of the case or the matter before they are checking in with you for updates. Now, as many of you know, the bulk of the work that I do is trademark registrations. And the process before the U.S. Patent and Trademark Office, to from the time that you file an application to the time that you receive a registration, is always getting longer and longer. And right now, it's a minimum of a year, usually longer than that. And so there are a lot of opportunities for people to ask for updates, and it just takes a long time. And within a process like that, it can be difficult to achieve this, to reach them with updates before they reach out to you. Now, what I do in that context, in the context of a trademark registration, is there are certain milestones that we may expect to hear from the USPTO, and I will update them when I receive those updates. And I make sure that they understand that when we get going. Like I said, you want to manage expectations all the way along. So just because you told them that, you know, you're going to reach out to them as soon as you have an update, that's not going to stop someone from checking in all the time. That's more personality based. But to the extent that you can, be the first to initiate updates. Certainly, if you're drafting a document for someone and you gave them a certain timeline and it's going to be any longer than that, you know, try to update that about the delay before that deadline comes. And of course, I'm not talking about court deadlines. I'm talking about more things like if you're drafting an initial contract and you promised someone a delivery date of 2 weeks from now, or you are drafting up a will or something like that and you gave them a timeline, if you think it's going to be any longer than that, try to update them before you have reached, you know, the day that you promised delivery on this document. Okay, tip number 8. When your engagement concludes, tie a bow on things. This doesn't have to be a client gift, though it could be, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But let's say you're drafting documents for them. Don't just deliver the documents. Deliver the documents and then invite them for, you know, a quick 20-minute complimentary follow-up session to discuss any questions they have. Or you can just outline for them ways that you could continue to support them in the future and include your calendar link and other contact information if they need anything else in the future. Finally, if this is a situation where they might need your services in the future, consider checking in with them in several months from now or a year from now to see how things are going with them and whatever else feels natural in that circumstance. And finally, our last tip, number 10, if a past client does refer business to you, consider sending them a small thank you gift. Now, of course, you cannot engage in non-attorney fee sharing, but usually in most jurisdictions or many jurisdictions, you can send a small token of your appreciation, a nominal gift, like a candle or something like that. But please check the ethics rules in your jurisdiction first. So some jurisdictions, California is one example, they follow the ABA model where you can provide a nominal gift. However, there are other jurisdictions, Pennsylvania is one of them, that prohibits lawyers from gifting anything of value to a person for recommending the lawyer's services, except in limited circumstances. So check in with the rules in your jurisdiction. And those are our tips from today. Crafting an amazing client experience isn't just beneficial for your current client, but it also lays the foundation for future referrals and sustained success in your legal practice. So prioritize responsiveness, clear communication, and managing those expectations from the initial consultation to completion of the matter. And remember that it's not just about achieving favorable outcomes. Of course, you want to do that as often as you can. Do a great job in the service that you're providing, but it also matters how you make your client feel, how you communicate with them. Do they feel valued? Do they feel supported throughout the entire process? So I hope these tips were helpful to you. If you haven't already signed up to be on our coffee chat list, I would love to have you join us once a month on the first Wednesday of the month. We come together for a Zoom chat just to network, meet each other, connect with like-minded female lawyers who are also striving to build a flexible practice that is built around their other priorities in life. We always have a wonderful time chatting. It's a free connection call, and you can sign up at www.lawyeronyourterms.com/coffeechat. So I hope you'll join us for that, and I hope you will join me next week for another episode of Lawyer on Your Terms. That's all for today. If you enjoyed this episode, it would mean the world to me and really help us grow if you would take a moment to go to your podcast app where you listen and leave us a review. If you know a lawyer who you think would enjoy this podcast, please take a screenshot of your favorite episode and send it to them or tag them in a post. And before we leave, I just want to remind you that you are more than just a lawyer and you can lawyer on your own terms. I'll see you next week.